You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Monday. Good morning to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to November, and hopefully that means cooler temperatures. I think what hurricane season goes till November 30th, and so the end of that is coming up soon. That doesn't mean that's the last possibility for storm. I do remember one year where we had a named storm that developed, I think, in December. But it does mean that cooler temperatures are on the way, and for that we are thankful. And one of the things that I have learned to do, in fact, we were having this conversation at my house with some of my kids, was when I was younger and pastoring the church, we just did whatever needed to be done, no matter what the weather was like. And sometimes it was brutal hot, and really there were a couple of projects I took on I should have procrastinated on and waited for cooler temperatures, but I was young and dumb. But over the last 15, 20 years, I have really targeted this time of year to be the time when I focus on doing my outside work. And if you are looking to have some concrete work done and want to be a blessing to the crew that does that, JITS Concrete would be a great resource for you to consider. Their phone number is 321-536-5804, 5-3-6-5-8-0-4. And they are really proficient in all things concrete. They bring decades of experience, good experience, decades of expertise. They know everything that needs to be done to get your project started successfully, processed successfully, and completed successfully, and then get out of the way. And they bring a great work ethic to the project as well. And so they're not afraid to get dirty. I can tell you, I have seen Greg covered in concrete dust from things that they were working on, demoing and old concrete jobs to make room for new and fresh concrete. And so they are not Johnny come lately to this. It's something that they are very, very good at. If you've got a concrete job, they may be a great resource for you to call. 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. Greg and his family have been part of Merritt Assembly of God since before I became part of Merritt Assembly of God, and that's coming up on 33 years. So we thank them for being friends of the Refresh Radio program. Today we're going to return to Psalm 106. We have been talking about the characteristics or the activities that were hindrances to people's praising God. And so we've looked about forgetting and rebelling and embracing things that they should have been rejecting and rejecting things that they should have been embracing. And all of those things served as challenges for them to honor God and revere God the way that he should be revered. But it also brings problems into a person's life that God really doesn't want in our lives. When you look at heaven, it's going to be first and foremost, it's going to be with Jesus in the presence of the Father. And so that's the main thing about heaven that makes heaven heaven. It's not the streets of gold. It's not the crystal seas. It's not I've got a mansion over the hilltop. It is spending eternity in the presence of Jesus. I don't know about you, but there's some days it's you know, what my greatest need is more than anything is just to spend time in His presence. And so I spend time in His Word, spend time in His presence. This morning, before I came in, I was praising the Lord early of a morning. I do that about a half octave lower than what I do later in the day as my voice gets warmed up. One of the great things about heaven is that it's going to be without problem. It's going to be without sickness, without disease, without sorrow, without death, without separation, without mortgage payments, without car payments, without car problems, without physical problems or mental or emotional problems or relational issues. All of that dysfunction is going to be excluded from heaven. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Here on earth, we can face challenges. And so verse 44 talks about, I'm going to read 44 through 48, and then we'll dive in. Psalm 106, verse 44, "Nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry, and for their sake He remembered His covenant and relented according to the multitude of His mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to Your holy name, to triumph in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen, praise the Lord." So when I was in high school, I'm pretty sure it was my senior year, if I'm not mistaken, I was taking a class, and for some reason, I was behind on turning my homework assignments in. I did work through high school. I've worked pretty much since I was 16. About the only time that I have not, you know, carried a full-time job was the last couple of years when I was in college, and it was not a great time for the economy, and so finding a job was pretty difficult. But this class, I had several assignments that I had not turned in. The reason I hadn't turned them in was because I hadn't done them. And so we were getting close to the end of the year. It might not have been my senior year, but one night I stayed up all night and did nothing but homework assignments for this class. And so was coming down to the end of the year. And so I went in and I handed in my homework assignment. And I told the teacher, I said, I stayed up all night to get this stuff done. This was before computers were, you know, in everybody's home and on your phone or anything like that. And she's like, "Wow, that's really impressive." And I said, "Yeah, several of them are late." And then she's like, "Well, I'm not impressed at all then." You know, and because what she was saying to me was, "You created this problem yourself by not doing it when it was supposed to be done." And I don't know if you have dreams about finding yourself in a class and you haven't read the book, you haven't done the homework, and now it's time for a test. But I have those nightmares occasionally, that and standing on the first tee of a golf course and not being able to get the tee in the ground or to take a backswing or have a clear view to hit the golf ball. Those are the two tormenting dreams that I have. So I tell you that story because sometimes we create our own problems, and sometimes the problems we face in this life are because we have moved God off of the throne and we've set Him off to the side. We've forgotten Him. We've ignored Him. We've ignored His word. We've ignored everything that covenant was supposed to be, and we've embraced things that we shouldn't have. And in this life, that leads to what are classified as afflictions here. So it says, "Nevertheless, because of God's covenant, He regarded their affliction." He looked at, He saw, He recognized that His people were living beneath His best. And it says He regarded their affliction. So I want to run down some of the words that are used in the lexicon to help bring clarification to the concept of affliction. Affliction means that they were surrounded and restricted. It led to people being depressed or worried, locked up, or distressed. None of that sounds like an enviable or desirable condition to live in. And so today, if you find yourself surrounded by problems, that's not a great place to be, but that situation can be transformed in a moment by looking up to God and saying, God, I find myself in a situation that I need some help in. I tell the story. It's a true story about a dog that we had. And we had to go to work during the day. And this dog had evidently been abused before we got it. And so we couldn't leave the dog in the house. We had trees all over the place. We provided all sorts of water. And we wanted the dog to be able to run. And I provided a 100-foot chain so it could get anywhere it needed to go. And I came home and the dog had wrapped itself around the tree to the point that only 3 out of the 4 paws was able to stay on the ground. The other one was doing a bobbing and weaving. And I was like, oh, you poor thing. And so I went out, I picked the dog up, I let it loose, and I unraveled the chain. And the next morning I went back out there and, you know, locked the dog onto the chain again. And I came home and found the dog in exactly the same predicament. And the second time I did that, I didn't feel nearly as sorry for the dog as I did the first time. I didn't do it anymore after the second time. I had to come up with a different solution because I said, this dog doesn't realize that we have provided this for its benefit, and it's turning into a problem. And if you find yourself moving from one crisis to another crisis to another crisis, I want to let you know that God has a better way to live than that. And so look up to him in reverence and awe and praise him and worship him and say, God, however you want me to do life, that's the way that I will do life. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation says where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. They just do whatever they want to do. That leads to a condition of affliction where you can be surrounded by problems that restrict your activities. There's a story I heard one time about a man who had decided that he wanted to come to America. He had bought a ticket onto the cruise ship, and he looked, and there were all sorts of people, and they were going and eating in the cafeteria, the dining hall, and he just sat outside and ate crackers and cheese. And as the cruise was nearing an end, a person said, "I've noticed you don't come in and eat." This is long before, you know, cruise ships are what they are now. He said, "Well, all I had money for was the ticket. I didn't have the money to buy the food package." And he said, "You didn't know that the food was included in the cruise price." And so this guy had been depriving himself of benefits that the price had already been paid for. I've been in situations where I was restricted financially. Those are not fun places to be in. I have found that there are some things that are worth more than money. Freedom is worth more than money. Peace of mind is worth more than money. And I think that there are a lot of people out there who are not doing their finances the way that God wants their finances done. And folks, I'm here to tell you, God will not be mocked. His word is true. We'll talk about that. His word is praiseworthy as well. And so if you are struggling with depression, now I'm not here to give a one size fits all. There are times when you need to talk to someone. You need someone to listen to you and someone who understands what you're going through and help you to get out of that cycle of thinking and create new neural pathways, because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God does not want us being depressed. One of the things that happens when we feel like we're going through a never-ending cycle of affliction is it takes a mental toll, an emotional toll on you. And God wants to set us free from that. And not only can you find help from other people, but when you look to God, you will find that He's praiseworthy from wherever you are, from valley to mountaintop to plateau. You start praising God, and it will have a benefit for you. Many people in this life are controlled with a spirit of anxiety. They spend their time worrying about things that are beyond their control. Faith is believing that God is bigger than my circumstances. Worry is having faith that my circumstances are out of God's control. And worry never accomplishes anything. Faith does. Worry does bad things to you physically. There are a lot of negative ramifications from living a life of worry, but there are a lot of positive blessings that come from living a life of faith. Now, when I'm talking about worry, I'm not talking about concern for the safety and well-being of others. I'm talking about you just spend your entire time cycling over a hypothetical problem or something that you don't have the solution about. And here's my cure. If you don't like this cure, you're not going to hurt my feelings at all. But my cure, as a person who has been delivered from worry to, you know, a great extent, not saying I'm 100% perfect at it, but is whenever I start to worry, I want to do what the disciples did as they were crossing the sea, and they looked, and, you know, as they're straining and thinking they're about to die, they find Jesus asleep in the front of the boat. And so my philosophy is this: in every circumstance, I want to look to Jesus. And if He's not panicked, then I don't have to panic. And so I have found God faithful in bad economies. I have found Him faithful in good economies. I have found Him faithful throughout my youth, throughout the middle age of life, and I expect to find Him faithful for the rest of my life on earth and throughout all of eternity. And the other one is locked up or distressed, like you feel like you're imprisoned. So several years ago, I don't remember exactly how many it was, probably about this time, a few weeks beyond 4 years. I think it's about 4 years. I think it was the end of September or October, and I was contemplating a decision. We were thinking that we may need to move a family member into our home from another state. And so because of the living arrangements, we were thinking we might have to sell our house, buy a different house. And I view everything that I own as a tool, and it's a possession by God that I'm entrusted with as stewardship. So, you know, I don't take any of those things for granted or anything like that. So my wife was facing a health issue. We were contemplating whether or not we were going to be moving, and there was a work equation in there for her as well, getting her closer to work. And I remember I was mowing my lawn, and I was praying, and I said, God, I feel stuck. I don't know what you want me to do. And so I want you to know, you can pray while you're on your knees. You can pray while you're driving your car. I recommend that you drive with your eyes open. There have been people who've tried driving with and praying with their eyes closed. That doesn't work well. You can pray while you're washing dishes. You can pray while you're doing laundry. You can pray while you're mowing the lawn. And so I was praying, and I said, God, I feel stuck. I don't know what you want me to do. And this was not a one-off prayer. This has really been a process. God, what do you want us to do? It had been going on for months. And at that moment, I felt like God spoke to me and said this: if you feel stuck, you will be frustrated. But when you recognize that I've planted you, you will be fruitful. Same position, two different outcomes, all because of perspective. I pray that you are not locked in to your problems. I pray that you are anchored to Christ. And because of that, you can look and say that God is able to deliver. So Psalm 107:20, and he sent his word. Oh, let me read verse number 17 through 22. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near the gate of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So what we see at that point in time is that God sends his word and he delivers us from distresses and destructions and things that are afflicting us. So if you find yourself in a situation like that, look to God, because he's paying attention to what's going on. It goes on and talks about in Psalm 106, when he heard their cry and for their sake, he remembered his covenant. So God not only regards our affliction, but he remembers covenant. And in that case, it says here in verse number 45, he relented according to the multitude of his mercies. Many times people try and understand God according to the circumstances in which they are going through, and then they blame God if it's a challenging season, or they, you know, just are thankful that they're not having a problem for a moment. There are a lot of people who are very complacent, and they don't realize, you and I, we cannot afford to be apathetic towards God. We need to be pressing into God and striving to know him and to make him known. But I will tell you that God is a merciful God. His mercies are brand new every morning. And so I was telling my wife here a few weeks ago, my devotion time had taken me through Jeremiah, and they'd taken me through Lamentations. And I told her one day what I was going through my devotion, and she said, well, what'd you learn? I said, great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Those are the things that you and I can be thankful for. God is merciful, but he is also 100% just. God is 100% love. He is 100% just. He is 100% faithful. And I am so thankful that he loves us even when we've blown it. No matter how deep a pit we find ourselves in, his arm is able to reach down and pull us out of that. It ends up, Psalm 106 ends up with these words: "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise." You and I should be crying out to God in prayer, not just during bad times, but we should be learning to talk to him on a regular basis. I've got grandchildren in several different stages of development. And in each one of those, I talk to them according to the level that they are at that will help to encourage them to develop their communication skills. God is not just there as pull in case of an emergency hotline. We need to be talking to God on a regular basis. Relationships are in a dangerous place whenever lines of communication are cut off, when there is no talking, when there's no listening, when there's no interaction. That's not a sign of a healthy relationship. And so I pray that our prayer life would be a healthy conversation between the God who knows all things, the God who loves us, is the lover of our soul, and we follow his direction and his input. There is the prayer, God, make us return, gather us from among the Gentiles. The prayer there is bring us back to the land or to that mark of distinction. You know, we talked a little bit about that, that we are not supposed to be just like everybody else. You are a unique manifestation of the grace of God in your life. You are not a copy of another. You were created by God for a distinct purpose, and your greatest satisfaction and joy in life will be finding that purpose that God created for you, and then run with it. Make the most of that opportunity. When we have God operating in our life like that, we find our purpose is to give thanks to his holy name and to triumph in your praise. And then it goes on and says, let all the people say amen, praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, where we praise God affectionately and gratefully. I don't want to give you a checklist. I just want to encourage you to have a relationship with God where you realize that God has been better to you than you could have ever been to yourself, that he has done more for us than we could have ever deserved. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that, but I also love him for it. I love him for who he is. I love him because he's holy, he's just. I praise him because he is worthy. And today I pray that you will join those in Psalm 106 and praise the Lord. Sing it, live it, proclaim it. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.